Isaiah prophesying, saying, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth and be seen, cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolation than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth thy curtains of thine inhabitants. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy steps. Enlarge the place of thy tent. And also as a companion text, I would like to read from the Living Bible, from Genesis 15 and verse 5. Then the Lord brought Abram outside, he was living in tent, beneath the nighttime sky, and told him, look up into the heavens, Abraham, and count the stars, if you care. Your descendants will be as they are, too many to count. And Abram believed God.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Lord, we love you. And we worship you. And as we know our hearts this afternoon, we say, Lord, enlarge the place of our tent. Take us by the hand and lead us out, and may we see the stars. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wish I could prophesy and say what God wanted to do. That is a fearsome and an awesome gift of God. I wonder if we knew what God was going to do in 1975, if would we rejoice, or if we would cry. But always when God wants to do something, he has to communicate it to a man. You know, God very seldom gets his will. Heard one fellow say, well, the Africans have a favorite saying, Mungu akijali. It's God's will. And they throw everything on that, Mungu akijali. Mungu akipenda. It's God's will. Well, he does will on many occasions, but he doesn't get his will. God wants to do, I believe, in our churches, in our cities, in our lives, things he never accomplishes. But what God does do, he must find a man to speak to.
Amen.
And when that man hears, faith is born. Is it in Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of the Lord? The Swahili version renders it just a little bit different from that. It says, chanzo cha imani kusikia, the foundation of faith is to hear. Just the beginning of faith is to hear. And in some way, I like that just a little bit better than our King James. Abraham was one of those men that God communicated his will and what he wanted to do to it. Previously, some 40 years before this text that I read to you, God spoke to that man and said, move. Abraham was willing to move. And then I say this, God never speaks beyond that which we are willing to obey. The word of the Lord may come to me again and again. And if I am not willing to obey that which he's already given, he'll never speak beyond that. He'll never reveal another and a further truth beyond what I'm willing to obey. Excuse me. And Abraham had stepped out, but he took some dealing reward. His father died. He's obeying God. He's out there in the desert, living in this little old, what I would compare now to one of these Bedouin tents. If any of you have ever been in the Holy Lands and you've seen some of these camel skin tents that the people live in, the Bedouins live in, the nomadic type of people that just follow a little bit of grass here and there that they can find. And that was the type of life that Abraham lived at that time. One day God came to him. And Abraham was complaining a little bit, and I'll not read all this. And he says, God, where's that son you promised me? He's getting to be an old man now. And God got Abraham by the hand and said, led him out of his tent and said, look up, see the stars. And I want to play on the words today, lead us out of our tent. In that tent, in the familiar surroundings of all that he had and all that was comfortable and all that he knew in his life, he could not even bear one child. But when God got him by the hand, an old man, past the time of life, and led him outside, and he could see that starry sky, he could believe God for a nation. And Abram believed God. Hallelujah. 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 But let me tell you something. When God leads you out of that tent, now that's something else. We can say, Lord, let me see the stars. Give me a vision. Give me a dream. Speak to me, Lord. But he's not going to talk to you in that tent.
That's right.
Amen. Sometimes our tent is our natural mind. Abraham is too old to bear a son now. Your wife's too old. But he naturally couldn't do it. But God led him out. And too often, our tent is just our comfortable surroundings. We're just plain satisfied.
Amen.
Sometimes missionaries can get satisfied. Pastors can get satisfied. churches can get satisfied. We can pay our bills. We can support a pastor. Why should we start a bus ministry? We hope to see you in those kind of stars. Glory to God. One day, God led us out of our teens. We'd gone to East Africa. God led us into a Bible school ministry, and we've been in Tanzania for about 6-7 years. We had a nice home built by Brother Wesley Peirce, beautifully furnished by the WMCs of West Texas. It was pretty comfortable. One day, Mary and I went up in the mountains of Umalila, Western beautiful Livingston Mountain, overlooking Lake Malawi. We were having a week pastor training course. We took a little tent along, moving into the tent. First night, I got feeling a little bit bad, and I didn't say anything to Mary. The second or third night, I don't remember it was, I walked outside the tent, and I fell face down in the mud. I fainted. It's always raining up there in those mountains, and I fell face down. I woke up in a little while and crawled back in the tent and lay down on the cot and slept the rest of the night. Got up the next morning, went ahead and talked to the pastors. I sat down on the altar to teach the pastors. I told them, I'm just feeling bad. I don't think I'd make it through this. In fact, it got so weak, we decided to go home, and I couldn't even put the tent in the back of a Land Rover. I didn't know what was wrong with me. When I got back from Bay, and we were real good friends with the Baptist doctor there. So we drove up to the Baptist hospital, and I called, "Dr. Williams, come here with me." I said, I'm feeling bad, you know. I was sitting there in the Land Rover. "Is it all? You got malaria? Go and take some malaria tablets and lay down a little while. You'll be all right." So I said, "Okay." Not knowing I was bleeding dead. And the next day or so, I got up and I fainted, and I got up again and I fainted, and Mary run and got the doctor, and this happened twice. The first time, God just stopped me. The busy schedule, 12, 14 hours a day, teaching, preparing, preaching, preparing Bible school text, on a translation committee, on a literature committee, on a Bible school committee, chairman of this, and I don't know what all was going on, but God just stopped everything. And for 7 months, I lay there on that bed. 7 months. And you know, in that time, God began to speak.
Yeah,
and God began to talk. I think I heard another Macedonian call. He changed their ministries and changed their field. And we, in the last year that we were on the mission field this time, we saw the hand of God, the deeds of God, the miraculous, the salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, hung more than all the other 7 or 8 years put together. But it wasn't all easy. God had to speak again and again. Without the king, and this work was new, the Holy Spirit had breathed on that country, and upspring churches, and upspring revival, and pastors, people that had no education background in the ministry of the church, calling themselves pastors, just felt the call of God, couldn't even read, went out and began to pastor churches. There we were alone for a year to try to bring some sort of unity and cohesion out of 200 pastors in an area as large as West Texas or larger. Pretty good sign, God. We've just been to the meeting and we've heard some of the doctrines they taught. We saw some of the practice and we saw some of the combination of baptism of the Holy Spirit and witchcraft and all these other things. And we were feeling pretty low. And I knelt down to pray, and if God ever spoke to me from His Word, He spoke to me that day. I was reading Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And He said to me that day, Jimmy, just as I spoke and created light out of darkness, I'll speak on the nation of Kenya. And out of chaos, I'll bring a creation of beauty. And out of confusion and darkness, I'll bring something of order and form and a wonderful church. That was my star. I saw it that day. And it will come to pass, praise God. We had a Bible school student. His name was Kometa. I taught him a little bit, but not in Bible school. He'd already graduated when he got there. I taught him the refresher courses. Kometa was a bright student. Graduated top of his class. Come down to the graduation exercises, and at that time in the southern highlands of Tanzania, they were trying to go into a tribe that the Assemblies of God had never been into. They were hard, they were resistant to the gospel. And the missionaries were encouraging the students, they were trying to impart the burden to go into that tribe. The Wamalila people. Kometa was Nyakyusa. They talked in their language. They had different customs. A missionary poured out his heart and nothing happened. But God was talking to that young student. And after graduation, God spoke to him. And said, Kometa, I want you to down there in those familiar mountains, and I want you to start that new church. He said, but what about my little farm? My little coffee farm up there in the mountains? What about my little church and my family and my children? He said, you have to leave them for a time. I want you to go. Kometa wrestled with that for a few weeks, and finally he came to the missionary and he said, the Lord spoke to me when we talked about that. And he said, I meant to go. The missionary drove him down there. Not one Assemblies of God Christian, not one Pentecostal Christian in the whole area. And he led off Kometa. And said, there's your work. That's pretty rough. No house. No friends. No neighbor. A different tribe. Different language. Different custom. And that's the mental world. He went out there and secured a little piece of land. It's going to be the first Assembly of God Church in Omalia. Went down to the river and got the water, began to make adobe brick, dry them in the sun. Building a little house first to live in, was going to bring his family down there. Alone. No one to help him. But God has shown him the star.
Yes.
God has spoke. God has said go. And now, Missionary Hurst came down a few days later. God had spoken to him, said go by and buy a little rice and a little meat, and he went out there. And here Kometa was, waist deep in an old hole of mud and water, tromping out these bricks and the sweat pouring off his face in the heat of the day. A few hundred bricks out here drying. Kometa looked at the missionary drive up and got out of the mud and come out and talked to him a little while. And Brother Hurst said, Kometa, the Lord spoke to me today to find his meat and rice and bring to you. And he said, Missionary, that was God, because I haven't had anything to eat now for 3 days. And I was just on my last strength, and then I was going to leave here and go home to my farm to get some more food. But I'll go ahead now. Wesley Hurst turned to leave, and Kometa said, wait just a minute. He said, I've got something. Now remember, in Bible school, we were building that other church, and I made a pledge for 50 shillings, and he reached that muddy hand in his back pocket and pulled out that 50 shillings and put it in the hands of Wesley Hurst and said, here's that 50 shillings that I pledged. Right. Wesley folded his arms, and he looked in the face of that black man. He said, you mean you had 50 shillings in your pocket and hunger in your stomach? He said, this is not my money. This is God's money. Need I tell you that Kometa is now pastoring one of the largest churches in Tanzania.
Thank you, Jesus.
And they take good care of him. And as I tell you, we have a tour of churches in Umalila. The woman that Mary told about this morning was of the tribe of Umalila. Kometa saw the stars.
Yes.
He was willing to step out. He was willing to move with God. Pastor. Pastor's wife, whoever you are this morning, let him talk. Let him speak to you. The Holy Spirit is here, he's ever present. And his voice is omnipresent. And he's wanting to talk. He's looking for a man to do something, and he wants to move in your community. He wants to move in your church. He wants to save. He wants to bring revival. If he can get an ear, if he can get a man, if he can talk to someone, if he can communicate his message to someone. And Abram moved out of that tent, looked into those stars, and God said, Abram, count them if you can. Count your converts if you can. Count those baptized in the Holy Spirit if you can. Count those moved upon by God if you can. And Abram
believed.
Hallelujah. 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 We have a wonderful, wonderful pastor in the country of Seoul, Korea. I've told this over the district. His name is Choyongi. He was converted in a marvelous way. A Buddhist kicked out of his home. Found an Assemblies of God mission. They clothed and fed him, sent him out on the streets of Seoul, Korea to preach. sick in both lungs, tuberculosis. And God began to touch him and strengthen him. And not only that, God strengthened his ministry. But when he was in that sick condition, and just touched by God, God led Chayani out of his peace. Buddhism, the religion of a nation, the security of family, the security of wealth, and all they knew is you choose Christianity, you step out of it. And he made the choice. He said, Lord, I'll leave this tent. And Chayani, a sick man, dying in just a few weeks, stepped out of everything he had, including mom and dad, brothers and sisters, the only roof over his head he had, and stepped out on the street, and he couldn't walk but a few blocks and sat down and rest again until he found that Assembly of God mission. Now that's being willing to move out of the tent. Chayani saw the stars, he dreamed a dream, he had a vision, and God showed that young man that one day, you'll preach to thousands of people. And for a long time, Chayani closed his eyes when he preached. A few little people sat in front of him, and one lady came up to him and said, Pastor Cho, why do you always close your eyes when you preach? He said, I'm preaching to all those people that I see. He was preaching to the stars that God had shown him.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was preaching to the stars. So young now pastors the largest Pentecostal church in the world. 1,200 deacons in his church. Now, pastors, that's a sizable deacon board. He was willing to move out. God spoke. A young man that Mary mentioned this morning, I'll tell something else about him. A secure job, a little farm up in Machama on the hills of Kilimanjaro. Beautiful country, a lovely family. We know his family, we know his children, we know him and his background. But a missionary came by one day while he was laying brick and said, Maya, God wants to make a man of God out of you. Will you follow me? And Maya never could get over that. He became a Christian. One day, he visited Dar es Salaam. Dar es Salaam was just a struggling little work on the coast in Tanzania at the time. We had a church there for about 10 years, and we just never could get off of the ground. We tried this pastor, and we tried that pastor, and this missionary had come, and that missionary had come, and nothing was going in Dar es Salaam. Chock-a-block Muslim, government Muslim, schools Muslim, Muslims all around. Nothing was working. One day, this bricklayer came, and God spoke. And said, Maya, if you'll move out of that tent up there on the mountain, that little secure place, and that job of bricklaying, I'll give you a great church in the city of Dar es Salaam. Maya wrestled with it for weeks, and finally